The Southwest WA Drought Resilience Adoption and Innovation Hub acknowledges the traditional custodians throughout Western Australia and their continuing connection to the land, waters and community. It pays its respects to elders past and present and extends that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Hello, I'm Julianne Hill, Hub Adoption Manager. This podcast series on dry season responses is brought to you by the Southwest WA Drought Hub and funded through Future Drought Fund. In this series, we'll hear from growers and industry experts on managing dry season responses, ranging from early planning to tactical decision making as the season changes throughout the year and setting up for your following season.
Welcome back to another episode of the Dry Season Resources podcast. And in this episode, we're actually taking a bit of a turn from our usual content. Previously, all of our episodes have been around decision making and agronomy and those sort of things in a dry season. But we're talking about what, in my eyes, is an even more important topic when dealing with a dry season, and that is mental health and well-being. I am joined by two very well-known people in WA mental health circles, Regional Men's Health Initiative Executive Officer Owen Caddo and Brad Milstead, who everyone will know as a grower from Wathaurou, but also the founder of Six Bees. Thanks for joining me on the podcast today, Brad and Owen.
Hey, Shannon.
We are going to start off maybe with yourself, Owen. I'd love to find out a little bit about yourself and just what exactly it is the Regional Men's Health Initiative actually does.
Yeah, thanks, Shannon, and good day to yourself and Brad and all the listeners. Look, we're a regional organisation that kind of deals with men specifically, but whole of community men's health and well-being, and like an education-based model. So we operate from Kununurra in the north to Esperance and Albany in the south. So we cover the whole Southwest Land Division and I guess doing three things really: community education, what we call a fast track pit stop program. So the Red Utes at various events where we do our pit stop linked to the servicing of a car. So some mental health questions around our shock absorbers, taking blood pressure, our oil pressure, and then just our measurements. So it's a interactive type of session that we have with blokes. And then the third bit that we do is what we call advocacy, which comes in two forms. So we do individual supports and referral pathways, and then for community groups and organisations, try to link them into what they want to do in terms of engaging in their community. So it's all bottoms up. We do about 380 gigs a year, and they're all community driven. So we don't organise anything other than add a little bit of advice to perhaps what they want to do, but we turn up and participate in their event. So it's a really good, you know, grassroots kind of model, and we're kept busy, so we know it works, and we kept busy in all areas of the state. So it's really exciting, I guess, from the point of view of travelling around and connecting with people, but it's kind of great to see people like reach out and do something about their own health and well-being, because ultimately we're in charge of that as individuals.
Amazing. And over to you, Brad. Can you tell us where exactly it is you farm and give us a little bit of an intro to what Six Bees is and how it came about?
Yeah, sure thing, Shannon. And yeah, thank you for the invite. Great to team up with Owen, and yeah, hope that all the listeners get something out of it. So yeah, I'm farming in the town of Wathaurou. It's in the Shire of Moora, so it's midwest of Western Australia. In the Shire of Moora, right at the very north end of that, Wathaurou itself is exactly halfway between Perth and Geraldton and an hour inland from Durian Bay, which should hopefully give everyone a pretty rough snapshot of where we are. I'm the third generation that's been here, still farming with the previous generation. I've got a father and uncle on the farm and a cousin as well, so there's the four of us on the place. So, yeah, lots of firepower, or the world's biggest hobby farm slash retirement village, as I sometimes refer to it being. So, the Six Bees was formed back in 2017 on the back of, well, a frosty 2016 across the state and a dry start to 17, and we'd had some trees that had come down in the summer storm that were pushed up that I hadn't got around to burning for paddock preparation. So I asked a couple of mates leading into May the 8th day. So Mate Day, it's an initiative from the Movember Foundation to check in on a mate, same as "Are you okay?" They both thought it was a great idea. So I just flipped it out on text, and I used Twitter as my social media at the time, and the ABC got wind of it. And while I was doing the 6 P's, prior preparation prevents piss poor performance, I came up with the 6 key things that were going to be there. It was going to be blokes, there was going to be a barbecue, there was going to be bonfire, there was going to be some beers, and there was going to be some bonding and some bullshit. So it's evolved from there, basically. It's been connected with the message of awareness, and it's just an initiative to try and get blokes to reconnect with themselves first and foremost, and then reconnect with their mates. And I've sort of gone into the 3 C's. Communities connected in conversation will strengthen all of our regional towns, but men across Australia, or blokes, across the world, the more we can connect with ourselves and our mates, and we'll hopefully start rectifying some of the truly horrific stats that are there for self-harm of 9 Australians every day complete suicide, and 7 of those are blokes, which, yeah, as a sideline, when the 6 B's were started in 2017, the stats were actually 8 and 6. So it was while I was doing some preparation for one of the chats that I was doing, it became obvious that the 6 B's was also a bit of a tribute to those blokes, those 6 blokes every day that couldn't fight the demons anymore and lost their battle. So, yeah, I'm an only child, so I'm a bit stubborn, so I refuse to make it a 7 B's. Even though I've had a few blokes suggest there could be a 7th B thrown in there. But so we between all of our agencies, we're working our asses off to try and get that number back to 6 and maybe even down to 5. And I actually take a little bit of solace in the fact in the last couple of years that number has actually just dropped just marginally. It's not big numbers, but it has dropped off a little bit. When you think of the last 3 years that we've all lived through with the pandemic, got to be some of the most mentally challenging times I think any of us have faced. That's a pretty good achievement, I reckon, to be dropping it just a little bit. So that's the background to the 6 B's is, just that message of awareness.
I think you're right, Brad. Every minor change that we can make in the right direction is definitely a positive step. The whole idea of this podcast is to remind people of a message that they know all too well, but to reinforce that before it all gets too much, talk to a mate. I want to start off by asking why you guys think it's so hard for particularly men in regional areas to open up about their mental health?
Well, I think it's 2 big reasons, Shannon. And the first part of it is the definition of our mental health and wellbeing. And then the second is we've probably been slammed as blokes for not talking and especially about emotional stuff around our life. But I think that's a bit of a furphy too. But just going back to the first one, when we get rammed down our throat that you're either well or you've got a mental illness or there's something wrong with you has been predominantly the message before I've got involved with this job anyway. And when we talk about situational distress and that gauge and having an amber section in it, which is being well is a green, then being amber is about a third, and then the mental illness category is right at the end. And what we say to the stats is that all of us spend time in the amber under situational stress in our lives. And that's daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, and then some people operated in an infinitum. And we've just got to acknowledge that and give blokes permission in particular, but ladies, and say that's all right. So when we're in there, try and have a chat. But just acknowledging that there's that amber section of our mental health and wellbeing, which is a continuum, is really important because it gives blokes a touch point to say, shit, I'm all right here. And after a talk and I've explained it to someone, blokes, and it just happened on Sunday at a gig, blokes will come up and say, Owen, you were talking about me. And I'll say, no, I'm talking about all of us. We're in that amber. So it resonates. So we've got to open up that part of the conversation, and the mental health industry has been really not at the forefront of it's changing significantly now, but of just talking about our mental illness. But we've actually got to talk about our mental health and wellbeing as a continuum, of which mental illness is at one part, pointy end. Situational distress is a fair chunk, and being well is the biggest thing, and we can flick between the three. And then the other bit is getting it shoved down our throat over time that blokes don't talk about this and don't do that. And it's a bit of a myth, in our opinion, in the work we do. And you give a bloke a safe place and he will talk about anything to anyone in the language he wants to do. And that's one of the exciting things I'm sure Brad's seen, and what the 6 B's and staying connected and being in a group does. And that safe place is might be after a game of football, bowls, six Bs, Crossroads breakfast. It will be where an individual finds it to be. And that's really important because in the job we do, if you give a bloke a safe place, he will come and spill his guts and talk about stuff that normally we wouldn't talk about. So we see those two areas. Both of them are improving, but giving blokes access and a safe place and giving permission is really important.
Brad, is that kind of the whole point of 6Bs, to help provide that safe place for men to be able to open up?
Absolutely. You know, so much of it is the isolation that we all feel now. Ag has mechanised so much. You know, most of us are doing at least twice, if not four times, what our forefathers did with half as many people, really. The isolation is very real. We're all more connected than ever before with our mobile phones, but probably more distanced than ever due to the lack of country sporting teams, country watering holes, all those sort of things. So, no, you're dead right. It's the safe place, for a wanky term, that the bonfire does provide. And around a bonfire, it's all natural light. So, you know, if somebody is struggling with what they're trying to say, you don't actually have to see the emotion in their eyes and that sort of thing. You can just pick up on it and they don't have to feel like they're in a spotlight. But, yeah, just so much of it's the language used, and like Owen touched on that, it's so much of the inbuilt language around mental health is so negative. You're a sufferer, it's a disease, it's all negative. And if we can change how it's talked about and just made it normalised and made to be so much less confrontational, the easier it'll become. And the best lesson you ever learn with it as you're trying to fight it is learning to be vulnerable, being prepared to be vulnerable to the people that you trust. You don't have to tell the world about it, your inner feelings, but if you can have a couple of mates that you can speak openly with about all things, professional, personal, intimate, relationships, or all the rest of it, it's a bit like doing the farm books or keeping a pool clean or whatever, like little bits often, and it doesn't build up. I quite often use the analogy when I'm talking, you can't keep putting sheep into a paddock without it becoming eroded. And the same with our top paddock. If we keep filling it up with lots of little bits of situational distress that Owen spoke about, the shit gets real very quickly and your top paddock can start to erode very quickly. But if you can share with that mate often, it doesn't build up and you stay in that amber that Owen talks about or the lads from Regional Men's Health speak about. You can stay in that, and that's a healthy place. It's not green, but it's not an unhealthy space. You can still go forward if you're at traffic lights.
I want to bring the ladies into this. Well, this episode is going to focus mainly on men's health, but as we know, it's the partners, it's the ladies who do also bear a lot of the burden on farm, especially, you know, in a dry season, but who do have to deal with a lot of the same issues. How can we go about creating, I guess, that, or helping to create that safe space between partners? Obviously, we want to be able to talk to a mate, but also build relationships where partners can talk with each other about their distress or about what's going on in their lives.
Yeah, I think, Shannon, it's the first thing stating the difference between blokes and ladies, and then that how we can interconnect. Because if we, when we say talk to a mate, it really blokes identifying who that mate is, and one of the important mates is our partner. So if I'm a bloke and I've been married 50 years or 40 years, my wife or my partner is really an important conduit to both our well-being. But so it's either a partner, peer or mentor, and there's lots of people around who haven't got one of those categories. Half of all blokes, in fact, haven't got that person that they can spill their guts to. So ladies play a really important role, and we play a really important role in being a sounding board for them. And ladies have got, because they've got more connection, they stay connected longer and they don't prune their connections as much as us blokes as we get older and grumpier. So they can have a few more avenues to kind of spill their beans, but it's really important in a successful relationship that we have, you know, honesty and that willingness to communicate and compromise is really important. And as blokes, The only thing I'd say as blokes, and we've been talking about it in the last year or two, that if we would observe the changes more in our partners through the stages of life they're going, that increases that connectivity. And I'm talking about, you know, when ladies go through their ages and stages like menopause and have babies and all that sort of stuff, if we just observe those little changes as blokes, that would open the doorway a little bit more to talk about stuff in a holistic way. And they are quite often our primary carers. The ladies, about two-thirds of all our phone calls for primary care to our office are mums and daughters and older ladies ringing in concerned about their sons, nephews and husbands. So we as blokes, you know, just have to step up a little bit in terms of listening and having that empathy and observing those changes within our relationship, because ladies are out there, they're isolated, they're lonely, they're working in businesses now like they never have, and we have to be able to have some time out and sit down and smell the roses and appreciate each other's company and diversity. And I always say to people that, you know, it's not your responsibility to make your spouse happy. That's up to each person to make that happen for himself or herself. But we play the most significant role in whether or not our spouses feel appreciated. That's the base and the base step for having a good, healthy relationship, in my opinion, and the work we do. So we've got a proactive role because ladies are just there, probably one of our biggest primary carers. It's a really invaluable role. So we've got to make it a two-way street from a bloke's perspective.
It's ingrained in us that we as males are the hunter-gatherer protector. And I know I've had several blokes, I'm 52, you know, a bit older than me, half a generation older than me, come to me and say, "Brad, my wife's my partner for life, or it's love my life, but I can't tell her this." And then they'll talk. We quite often try and protect them from our inner thoughts, which, like Owen's saying, is we probably need to get over that and get a little bit better at that sharing. Arguably also goes the opposite way, as Owen talks about, with different stages of a female life as well, which I can't talk authoritatively from, given I'm a male. But those changes are they're life-changing and relationship-changing in a lot of areas. A relationship breakdown is one of the major components to bad mental health. And that's a fact. But, you know, I know a lot in the industry want to talk about the fact that men need to learn to talk more, but they're trying to insinuate that we as males have to speak more like a female, and we don't. I know I can't, and I shouldn't probably talk so generically, but it's important to be able to keep and maintain your male and masculinity, to be able to talk like that, and it comes back to having those I haven't used it before in this talk till now, but a Gotcha for Life, mate, which is on the back of an initiative from Gus Warland and his Gotcha for Life Foundation. But a Gotcha for Life, mate, that you can talk to, and you can talk in bloke language. You can describe things as only blokes will take it on board. Is just so bloody healthy. Yeah, it's really healthy. And like Owen was talking about, that relationship at home, it goes back to why it's so important to take time away from the farm. And all businesses are saying, but farming can be so addictive to a degree that you get so consumed by thinking that you have to be there, that the world will stop if you're not. But to take that time to step away, to reconnect with yourself, reconnect with your wife, rekindle that bit of passion in your relationship will set you up quite well. And it's quite often when you're not actually at the coalface, or as I say, stepping away from shoveling the shit, you can quite often find a better way to shovel the shit. Basically, it just gives you that chance to disconnect from it and come up with a better way of doing it.
I really appreciate you both highlighting that men and women have a different vocabulary when it comes to talking about their mental well-being and just what's going on in their lives in general, and there's actually nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. It does cause difficulties sometimes in talking to each other about what it is we're going through, but we can't expect, you know, the other to talk the way that we do. So I really appreciate you both highlighting that for us, and just making it clear that, yeah, having your own vocabulary around the way that we describe what it is we're going through, or we talk about what it is we're going through, makes us all individual, and it is perfectly okay that we all talk about it differently as long as we're talking about it. We, on a farm, get everything ready to go. We make sure our machinery is ready to go and serviced and in tip-top shape, and we make sure that our livestock has been vaccinated, and we do all of the things to make sure that all of the assets on the farm are ready to go for any given season. Farmers are the biggest asset on a farm beyond anything else. So speaking directly to growers who are maybe sitting, you know, in that amber area, potentially even heading to red, how do they go about making sure they're serviced and in tip-top shape heading into the upcoming season?
Firstly, and from a bloke point of view, is making sure before you go into a busy time is that you are rested. And I know that's hard to compromise sometimes, but you do have to be rested going into a busy time. And you should do, in our opinion, it's what we preach, I guess, is do service visits to the doctor. And people think that might just be the doctor of medicine, but it's to the doctor of life. And it's getting your teeth checked, your eyes checked, your doing your bowel scan at 50, doing a service visit at the doctor, just so you can get your oils done, your bloods done. And we suggest that all the time, you know, get it done in February, March, so you can eliminate stuff and gives you peace of mind. So that's really important. And then the other thing is, when we're planning to go forward, is trying to have some habits that you can hang on to, because no one can work 24/7, and the guys on 2-in-1 rosters that we deal with, that's a real tough gig, you know, two weeks of 12 hours, and that stuffs them. So we've got some farmers out there, Bradley being one, obviously, that when we get to seeding and harvest time, you know, we don't blink an eyelid for bloody 6 weeks to 2 months. And it happened at harvest time. Some guys just Sunday, no, we finish Saturday night, do our servicing, so we've got Sunday off to rest. So even in the busy time, we have to just kind of create a few habits that make it sustainable to get through that period, because it's such an impact, and I don't know, it's a really busy period, so ain't the obvious.
Yeah, I often say that as farm businesses, we're more than happy to include other professionals in that business in terms of advisors or mechanics or soil consultants or whatever. And yet, yeah, when it comes to ourselves, which, as you said, Shannon, the biggest asset on the farm is the labour units, and then it's the soil, and then it's the shiny iron that dries around on top of it that we all seem to, I think that we all get that almost in reverse of priority. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with, as Owen said, get to the doctor and go and get it checked. And in all honesty, come February, March, you're probably arguably almost as healthy as you're going to be all year. Hopefully you've had a bit of a break. Yes, you might have gone over a bit of overindulgence over the Christmas and holiday period, but, you know, come February, March, yeah, no, that doesn't count. And you've actually got a chance to have got a bit of fitness back, bit of mental health, go and get it checked then, because it sort of is almost all downhill from there for the rest of the year. You just keep chipping away at your fatigue bank for the rest of the year and your health bank. So it's called your health for a reason. It's your health. No one else is responsible for it. You're responsible for it. So trouble is, I think most of us blokes, and I'm guilty of it, is you wouldn't mind that little bit of a prod or connection with your professional GP to say, hey, hang on, haven't seen you for a while. Let's run through some things. So, you know, like Owen said, last year was an absolute shit mixer for most of the state. And he's dead set right. So many people just did not work a Sunday. But it was because there was no need. Yeah, you know, a lot of the state, it was taking a day to, if you harvested all day, you wouldn't fill up all of your own storage anyway. So a lot of people did take that opportunity. And I know a lot of people quantified the year and said, well, yep, it's been absolute shit, but we're going to have a proper break here. And a lot of people have had 6 or 8 weeks off. And I know from here north, the guys impacted by Seroja, the cyclone, it's the first break they've had in 3 years. You go out through the Corrigan area with the horrific fires a couple of years ago, they've strung together some big years as well. You know, so much of the state has strung together 3 big years, and we've had 2 massive harvests as well through a lot of the state. fatigue levels were huge. I spoke to a lot of farmers 12 months ago at the start of February. They all commented how tired they were. They were all lacking motivation. And it was just, it's been a pure hard slog. You throw in there the lack of labour units available, that a lot of big enterprises, the manager owners haven't spent more time on a seat than they have in the last 12 months since they were young lads and they first came home. It's been massive. So it's, as much as last year was an absolute financial headache, a lot of people have invested some time back into themselves and should be feeling mentally really, really strong now, dealing with some negative budgets, but hopefully able to quantify that and move forward into a more positive space going forward into this year, which at this point is like just pure, and talking business, input costs are down from last year. You know, it's going to be a lot cheaper year this year than last year. So here's hoping we can get some rain and off we go again.
I do want to pick up on something you said, Brad, and you mentioned that it is our health. You have to be in charge of it yourself, but sometimes a little prod that maybe something needs looking into is needed and helpful. How is the best way to go about giving that prod, whether it's a wife giving it to a husband, the other way around, or a mate giving it to another mate to say, hey, I think there's something that you should go and get checked out? How do we say that to another person the right way?
That's where communication is such a unique skill, isn't it? We all communicate differently. I know within our business, I'm sort of the day-to-day manager sort of, but if I'm passing on instructions, it's sort of two or three different methods I've got to use for the two or three different people. It's not going to be one size fits all for sure. Everyone's going to be different. You've got to work it out. I always use the analogy of you wouldn't drive past a mate's paddock and see a mob of sheep in a crop and not ring him up and say, hey, have you noticed this? And it's the same when the amber's starting to go to red. The classic signs of people really under mental duress is their social outlets, their normal social outlet, whether it's church on a Sunday or golf on a Saturday, Friday night froffies, scroungers golf on Thursday or whatever it is. Once they start missing those constants in their social outlet, we as humans, we're herd animals. Even the biggest introvert likes other human interaction. We're herd animals. And once people start missing their social outlets, that's a big warning light to come on the dashboard, basically, given the car talk that we're using. And 1 week, yeah, we can all be busy for 1 week, 2 weeks. If it gets to 3 weeks in a row, there's something wrong. And that's where you've seen that mob of sheep in a mate's paddock. It's just having the strength of character or the strength of friendship to be able to ring him up and say, hey, mate, what's going on? I've noticed. But whether it's over the phone or say, hey, I'm coming over for a cuppa, I'm going to come over for a beer, or get, if you don't have that within you, and not all of us have that ability within us, then get somebody else to reach into their toolbox and use that tool on the mate. Somebody in the circle is going to be able to connect with them and just find out what's going wrong. It's probably not quite the answer that you wanted in terms of how do we do it. But, yeah, it's just we've got to know, we'll learn ourselves and our mates better and work out what you can use, what levers you can use, and to try and get the desired output. Communication sensory as well. Yes, it's speaking, but you've got to listen and you've got to watch a lot as well and put all three forms into use at once.
There is movement in the camp around language and communication, and we talk about primary care a lot and describe it as keeping a lookout after ourselves and a lookout for others, and invariably that's about connection. But what's interesting about primary care is that's where change is going to happen. So that's grassroots, bottoms up, I'm talking primary care. And there was a shift about using the right language. Don't say this, don't say that, whether it be about suicide, mental illness or whatever. And even the experts just recently have thrown that stuff out the window because we all communicate differently. And whether I'm the gruff man at the men's shed or standing around having a beer or being at the footy show, if I've got that gut feel that someone's not travelling very well, I can ask in whatever language that I talk in. And so can the old mate at the men's shed who's gruff, but ask. And that's about having empathy and connection. And primary care is the only way that we're going to make a change in the stats around suicide and improving mental health and wellbeing, because it allows connection and allows ordinary people to realise that they're not alone, which is all of us. And, you know, it enables a discussion to be had. And like Brad said as well, it's not for everyone, but I'd like to think that most of us have got some form of primary care, and it was not another job. It's part of our ethos of life, and it's about having that empathy and connection. And I can disagree with someone's beliefs. I don't have to interpret their beliefs, but, you know, and if I just use the analogy of a ute analogy that I use when I'm talking, and it's the mate I'm concerned about's in the ute, not literally, but he's in the ute, I'm outside, the window's down, and I'm listening to his story. I'm not getting in the ute with him because he doesn't want me in the ute. He does 99.9% of the people in the ute want to tell their story to whoever wants to listen. And it's really powerful. Then out of that, if I get a gut feel that, shit, I've got to follow up, or I've got to have this referral pathway, or I can ring a doctor or ring a mate or pass it on, that's what primary care is about. But we've just got to remember that that person in the ute, 99.9% of people that are in the ute want to talk about their stuff. That's what they want to do. So we've got to allow a little bit of time to listen. And that being connected, I'm just going back to Brad and the six Bs and those groups and anywhere where we can get to a function, whether it's a conference. And if we use a 10% rule, which is the research kind of tells us, if there's 50 people at a function, 5 people will leave that function or that event with a spring in their step because they've benefited from having a conversation with someone. And it might be unbeknownst to the person they've had the conversation with. So really powerful that we just engage in whatever capacity we've got. And that's primary care, in my opinion.
You said, Brad, that you didn't think that you gave me the answer that I wanted, but I think honestly that was the perfect answer, that one, it's different for every single person, and two, if you don't feel okay saying that to someone directly, there is always the option to say it to someone else who can then pass the message on. And sometimes that's the best way to go about it. So I think both of those are really great messages. As long as, you know, the person's getting reached at the end of the day, who does the reaching doesn't really matter as long as someone does. I want to finish off by asking what we do when life throws us a curveball. It happens all the time. It happens in farming probably more often than any other world in which people might exist. They can be hard to catch. So how do people go about, yeah, just dealing with life when life isn't going according to plan?
Well, a few points I'd say, Shannon. Firstly, and it is about, you know, being positive and keeping a positive personal attitude, because whether I'm a farmer or a contractor, or sometimes it's human nature or most of the time to be down on ourselves, but we've actually got to be what I call kind to ourselves. So we've actually got to say, geez, I'm a bloody good bloke here, and I'm a good farmer, and I'm a good whatever agribusiness, I'm good at what I do. And sometimes, you know, the ball does bounce the wrong way, but keeping that positive personal attitude is good, and looking for realistic solutions, not panicking and considering all your options. I like, you know, good business managers always say as they considered all the business options on that day, made a decision, and then if 2 weeks down the track or 10 weeks down the track or a year down the track, it's different, that's so be it. But when they made their decision, they were the most informed at that time. And I think that's really invaluable, because it's part of that staying positive in your own self and talking to all the people that you can talk to. Ultimately, it's our decisions in what we do, but talking to the variety of people is invaluable, that whatever makes up your business network.
In ag, there's just so much out of it is out of your control. You can do all the preparation that you want, and if Mother Nature wants to not play the game, as she didn't in 23, that's the cards that you dealt. But it's quantifying that situational distress that you're under. And I know personally within our business last year, making some tough decisions were actually really, really easy on after the knowledge that we'd gained in the last 20 years of having 3 very similar years. And just to hit key times and go, yep, nut, rightio. Have regular meetings within the business, or we don't call them meetings, we call them catch-ups, but have regular catch-ups and go, rightio, this is where we're at. What levers are we going to pull from here? And it's an old cliche of control the controllables, but honestly, you've just got to be able to quantify what you have been able to control and what you haven't. There's no point worrying about it. I coach a bit of kids' cricket, and you'll get to a ground and something might not be right, and you'll point it out to them at the start of the year, at the start of the game, and say, right, there's a bit of a lip on the pitch here. Can we do anything about it? No. Right, yeah. So don't worry about it. We've got to adjust our game around that. It's going to be the same for both teams. Same in ag. It's the same for all of us. Generally, dry years, it's nothing you've done. Your personal management is really solid. I know I saw a great example of that last year. We were right on the south end of the real horrible part of the state, and I don't want to offend anybody that lived that last year or upset anybody, but I went for a drive a couple of times with mates just to say, here, jump in the ute, let's go and have a look at this, just to quantify that how fortunate we should be around here. And we came across one paddock that there was an obvious leaking pipe, like there was a pump down the bottom of the gully, tank on top of the hill, and a direct line between the two. There was a green patch of crop there, as big as your ute, that was a normal crop. And you go, that was just fantastic to see, because it showed that the people's management was spot on, absolutely spot on. It's stuff that they couldn't control, i.e. rainfall, as to why the rest of it looked as bad as it did. So, yeah, I don't know. In those times, you've just got to, oh, there's a great saying, Louise O'Neill from Farm Fitness Life, sometimes you've got to step backwards to go forwards. I'll use the same sort of saying in a cricket shot. You've got to load your back foot up. That's your power. That's where your front foot drives come from. So sometimes you've got to load that back foot up and then drive into that ball and give it to it. So, but it's also bloody important to have an outlet during those seasons, during those years. You've got to not reprimand yourself or punish yourself by saying, no, I can't go out. It's actually times like that that you need to go out more than in, arguably, than in the good years to, go for that drive like I spoke about. Go and have a look, take the time, reconnect, refocus everything, and put the big picture back in perspective.
Before we wrap up, I would love it if you both could tell everyone where they can find you, where they can find your resources, if you have any events coming up that our listeners might like to know about, just any extra information you can give everyone.
Well, Shannon, all I say is that we've got a good website where we are, Regional Men's Health, so drop on there. If they want to get in contact with us, Men's Health's got the numbers and the details there, and don't hesitate to reach out, and we've got a fair bit of information there which we pass out and send out to individuals and groups. And if I may just take the opportunity to say thanks for inviting us today and having a chat with Brad and yourself. And if there's two things I'd like to finish on from my point of view is no matter what we do in life, we've got to make an effort. So we've been under the pump in a bad year, or socially, we do have to make an effort. And the other thing is we've got to maintain our sense of humour, laugh at ourselves, because I do that daily, I think, sometimes. But we've got to maintain our sense of humour, because that's the best chemicals and discharge in our body that we've got. And smell the roses each day, because we live in a special place in this world. And wish everyone the best for 2024.
Yeah, that making an effort is a huge comment. When the fight's on, and when it's really on, the demons do their best work generally in darkness. They don't like light. They love isolation and being alone. They don't want you to include other people in your thought process, because that's when they can get really noisy in your own head. And they love depressants like alcohol and drugs and that sort of thing. So you just really got to make an effort to try and avoid those potential triggers. It's a lot like a fire. I know I'm a trained FCO, but I think for a fire to survive, you need fuel load, oxygen, and there's one other. If you can remove one of those, the fire's out. And it's the same with the fight with depression. If you can remove the darkness or the drinking or the isolation, generally you're going to fight your way out of it. So it's just, really making an effort is a big thing. But, from the 6Bs, we actually do have the good old proactive community down at Esperance on March the 27th. They've got a 6Bs down there, but obviously March 27th bonfires aren't really a good thing, so they've decided to make that barefoot bowls instead. So it's at the Scadden Country Club, March 27, 4 o'clock for a 4:30 start. There'll be dinner about 6:30. FPOS facilities there. The dinner's provided and there'll be a recovery breakfast the next morning. So, yeah, please, the big thing that we don't try and encourage is drink driving or drinking to excess. But, yeah, look, the guys down there have got together. They've obviously had a really, really shit end to 23, horrific fires. There's lots going on down there that have really impacted that community. So, yeah, it's fantastic to see them get up and about and get around each other again to organise this. Outside of that, yeah, we don't have any events from here on in. We'll get the crop in and then we'll worry about some stuff after that, I think. But no, there's always inquiry as to what's going on, and which is so good to hear. And yeah, I know Owen and his team, they do a mountain of work come the Ag Field Days times and country shows. So I know their home life on weekends in that spring period is very, very rare. So yeah, not hard to spot a red ute going around at that time. And yeah, reach out to them. And I know personally, if I have people come to me asking for help or assistance, as soon as I can detect that it's outside my pay grade, which is a pretty low pay grade, they're the guys I love to recommend people to talk to. They're absolute top shelf. And I know for a fact they've done more good for the mental health and well-being of regional Western Australia than any other organisation I know. So, yeah, full kudos to Owen and Terry and the rest of the boys there. They're magnificent in the work they do, and hats off to them.
Full kudos to both of you, I think. I do just want to remind everyone that on top of all of the resources Brad and Owen have just mentioned, the dry season resources page on the Hub website of GGA is also a great place to go for any extra information. There's a wealth of information on there about all things dealing with a dry season. So you can find that at hub.gga.org.au. Check it out, find out everything that you hopefully might need to get through a year like 2023 and hopefully not a year like 2024. Brad and Owen, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today. I really appreciate your time and your wisdom.
Good on you. Thanks, Shannon. Thanks, Brad.
Shannon, thank you very much again for the invite. Owen, thank you. Always love your company and your perspective on life. So, thank you. And, good luck to everybody out there. Let's load up and see what 24 gives us. And, here's hoping we all have a cracker.
You've just been listening to the Southwest WA Hub's Limited Dry Season podcast series. For further support for decision-making through dry periods, the Drought Hub website features a collection of resources for the livestock, grains and horticultural industries. You can find them under the Resources tab on the Hub website at hub.gga.org.au.
This episode has been brought to you by the Southwest WA Drought Hub, funded by the Future Drought Fund. If you or someone you know is in crisis, contact Lifeline on 13 11 14.